Good morning, my name's Andrew Foster. On behalf of our Pastor Paul Newman and the rest of the church leadership team, I'd like to welcome you to our online service from Whitley Bay Baptist Church this morning. Firstly, I'd like to share with you some family news. I think as many of you already know, our dear friend Nan Kirkland passed away in St Anne's Nursing Home on Wednesday this week. Nan was such a great inspiration, encouragement and dear friend to many people over many, many years, and she's going to be greatly missed in our church family. But we can also rejoice this morning for her life, for her testimony and for her love of God, and we rejoice together that we know that right now she's with her Father in heaven. We're going to get a chance a little later in the service to pray for Nan and her family at this sad time. But we come together now to worship God, and my prayer today is that wherever you're watching this service or listening to this service, that you might encounter God in a new way, and you might get a real sense of God's love and God's presence surrounding you today. So let's just spend a moment in quiet and just be still together. And I'll lead us in some words from the Lectio 365 devotions. As we enter prayer now, we pause to be still. We breathe slowly. And we re-center our scattered senses on the presence of God. So let's worship God together as Eric and the band lead us in I Will Worship.
I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone.
I will praise you
with all of
give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone are worthy of my praise.
Thanks so much to Eric. Like many of you, I've been a Christian for a long time. And I guess also like many of you, that's not always been plain sailing. There have been times when there's been great joy and times when there's been doubts. And I guess that's a familiar story for many of you. But one of the things that's been very constant for me for many years now, and one of the things that's been very special to me, is to consider that the God of creation, the God who created everything, is the same God that loves me. The God of creation is the same God that loves you. And I just think that's an amazing thing to consider again this morning. And I hope that it can fill you with hope and with joy this morning. And with that in mind, I've asked Elaine if she'll read for us Psalm 19.
Psalm number 19 from the Passion Translation. God's Witnesses. God's Story in the Skies. God's splendour is a tale that is told. His testament is written in the stars. Space itself speaks his story every day through the marvels of the heavens. His truth is on tour in the starry vault of the sky, showing his skill in creation's craftsmanship. Each day gushes out its message to the next, night with night, whispering its knowledge to all. Without a sound, without a word, without a voice being heard, yet all the world can see its story. Everywhere its gospel is clearly read, so that all may know. What a heavenly home God has set for the sun, shining in the superdome of the sky. See how he leaves his celestial chamber each morning, radiant as a bridegroom ready for his wedding, like a daybreaking champion eager to run his course. He rises on one horizon, completing his circuit on the other, warming lives and lands with his heat. God's story in the scriptures. God's word is perfect in every way. How it revives our souls. His laws lead us to truth, and his ways change the simple into wise. His teachings make us joyful and radiate his light. His precepts are so pure. His commands, how they challenge us to keep close to his heart. The revelation light of his word makes my spirit shine radiant. Every one of the Lord's commands is right. Following them brings cheer. Nothing he says ever needs to be changed. The rarest treasures of life are found in his truth. That's why I prize God's word like others prize the finest gold. Nothing brings the soul such sweetness as seeking his living words. For they warn us, his servants, and keep us from following the wicked way, giving a lifetime guarantee, great success to every obedient soul. Without this revelation light, how would I ever detect the waywardness of my heart? Lord, forgive my hidden flaws wherever you find them. Keep cleansing me, God, and keep me from my secret selfish sins. May they never rule over me. For only then will I be free from fault and remain innocent of rebellion. So, may the words of my mouth, my meditation thoughts, and every movement of my heart be always pure and pleasing, acceptable before your eyes, my only Redeemer, my Protector, God. Thanks be to God for his word.
Thanks very much, Elaine. I was hoping at this point to be able to play you a song, but because of some copyright issues that we have, I'm not able to do that this morning. But if you get chance after this service is finished, just go onto YouTube and encourage you to listen to a song called Lord of the Starfields by a singer called Bruce Coburn. And really, it's a song of praise to the Creator God. And the line in the song that always really strikes a chord with me is this: O love that fires the sun, keep me burning. Let's just consider that again for a minute. O love that fires the sun, keep me burning. And I hope that's an inspiration for you this morning. Let's just pray together now. Father God, we thank you that we're able to come together as one church this morning, even though we're scattered throughout our homes. We thank you that we are one in you. We praise you that you are the Creator God, and we give you the praise and worship and adoration that is due to you. And I thank you, Lord, that we can sing together, that we will give you all the worship, that we will give you all the praise that is due to you. So I just pray, Lord, as we continue with our service this morning, that you'll be with every part of what goes on, and that you will inspire each of us this morning to a closer walk with you. We thank you for your goodness to us, and we thank you for always being there with us and for us. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. Andrew and Janusia are now going to lead us in some prayers of intercession, and this will be followed by a talk from John Hawkesworth.
Lord, we give you thanks that we are able to come and bring our requests to you. We pray right now for our nation and the world, and we thank you that you are listening to our prayers, that you are attentive to what we say. In Jesus' name.
We pray about the COVID-19 pandemic, asking that you, Lord, will direct the actions and decisions of those in power, providing wisdom and compassion.
We pray, Lord, about the vaccine trials and give you thanks for its swift production, and ask that you would bless the results and all those who volunteer.
We thank you that the rates of infection are diminishing, and you thank you that people are now more able to interact more and more with others. We bring before you, Lord, our world economy and the recent company closures.
Father, we ask for your provision and for those who have the ability to reach out to those most affected, that they would be active and doing what they are able to do to help others. Lord, we don't understand fully why these things are happening, but we ask for your help in bringing the crisis to an end. But at the same time, we pray that your will would be done. And we pray that we would be willing to learn through this process what you need to teach us.
We pray also about the Black Lives Matter movement, asking that you, Lord, will bring healing and reconciliation, especially in the U.S.
We pray for those of different ethnic backgrounds in our own country who have been and are affected by racism. We pray for forgiveness to abound, and we pray that those sinfully belittling and harshly treating our fellow human brothers and sisters, that their attempts would be impeded, and that they would learn compassion, and that you would bring justice in that situation.
We pray for your will to be done in this age-old problem.
We pray for war-torn and terror-affected countries such as
Nigeria, Syria, Yemen, Saudi Arabia and Afghanistan. Lord, we pray for healing and resolution and for those who are affected but not participating, the innocent who are enduring the horrors of the conflict.
And now, Lord, prayer requests for our church and community. We pray for our church brothers and sisters, those who are suffering through the isolation and uncertainty of this stressful lockdown time and current restrictions. We pray for the elderly and those more vulnerable who may be fearful and lonely at this time. We pray, Lord, especially for Nan Kirkland's family at this time. She has now gone to be with our Lord, and we give you thanks for that. But her life and her relationships with her family are now no longer what they were. So we pray for comfort and for your hand upon them as a family. We pray also, Lord, for Esther Vesic and other church friends who are unwell. We give you thanks for Esther's progress, and things have been going well. And we do ask, Lord, for your hand to continue on her in healing and others who are also sick.
We pray for our parish nurses and their work in the community. We pray for Paul Newman and Jill for their new home and transition later this year.
Let us close our time bringing our request to the Lord by sharing in the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in you, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you may bear much fruit, and so prove to me my disciples.
Hello, welcome to this morning's message. My name is John Hawksworth. I'm part of the church family here at Wheatley Bay Baptist Church. In fact, this weekend, about 17 years ago, was when we first started as a family attending Wheatley Bay Baptist Church. Some of you might not recognise me. In lockdown, I haven't had my hair cut since the end of February, so it's grown long. And often on Sunday mornings, I am out serving the young people, the youth work out there. And it'd be good just to pray for our young people. It's a strange sort of time, isn't it, for everyone, but particularly those young people. They've been working towards exams, and the condition that this is a kind of key gateway and a rites of passage. And many are disorientated. For others, the lack of structure and sin makes this equally as challenging. So maybe we could just pause and pray, first of all, for our young people. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the children and young people who are part of our family at Whitley Bay Baptist Church. And we pray for them now. Lord, we ask your blessing upon them. Those that have been working towards exams or unsure about the future, disorientated, Lord, we ask your blessing upon them. We pray, Lord, in the midst of all the chaos and confusion and craziness, and maybe even coming out of it now, Lord, that they would be content with knowing you. Lord, reveal your heart to them and for them. And Lord, help us as a church to be able to serve them and equip them. Amen. I work for British Youth for Christ. I support and develop our centres in the north and Scotland and Wales, and I lead a bit of a team to pioneer new projects and new centres in part of Youth for Christ. I also lecture in leadership and youth ministry at Cliff College, involved in Spring Harvest in their youth team. And so this has been a very different season for me, not least because I usually spend about half my time travelling. I'm sure many of you will be zooming into things and Skyping and having video conferences and seeing different views of people's kitchens. You can almost smell the fresh coffee. You're looking at their lounge and their decor. Many people do these video messages from studies, and it looks like a Christian bookshop or a library, and there's so much stuff in there. It's just wall-to-wall books. But I decided to do something a little bit different. I thought I'd come to my car. And don't worry, I'm not driving at the same time, but I thought I'd come out and about, and you know, I've got probably the best view to preach with, a different take on preaching with a view. I can see the sea, the ships, and sorry for those that are listening on the podcast and can't see everything, but there you go. Sorry, you'll miss the opportunity to spot the dolphins in the background. Now, the start of this lockdown season, there are worship songs and Bible passages that were very poignant for me at the moment, as well as the word recalibrate. Recalibrate. Unfortunately, we don't have the technology to have PowerPoint, so recalibrate, a word. It's not a word that you use every day. In fact, I remember back in the day when we had those good old printers where you had to change the cartridge after about printing 10 or 20 bits of paper. And when you changed it, you had to line things up, and a message used to come up saying recalibrate as you tried to get the lines and the colours in focus so you had a successful and effective output. And in many ways, I felt that this season has been a bit like that. It's a bit of a time for recalibrating. Maybe some time returning to good and wholesome and many, for many, godly values, godly ways, new priorities. Indeed, chats with both believers and unbelievers, of what to hold on to in of the good things that has been in this unprecedented season. Yes, it's been a hard season. A devastating season, overwhelming for many people. It's been tragedy. But at the same time, there's been some amazing stories of God's grace and God's goodness. Timing, provision, transformation. God has been at work. Recalibrate. It's all about perspectives, priorities, and presence. Maybe it's recalibrating for me personally, and maybe for you as well. It's been a time of getting back to and focusing upon what really matters. John Ortberg, the American author and church leader, he wrote this: for most of us, the great danger is not that we will renounce our faith, it is that we will become so distracted and rushed and preoccupied that we will settle for a mediocre version of it. We will just skim our lives instead of actually living them. And I think this has been a season that we've been able to come back to what really matters. Recalibrate. Relaxing. It's about reading. It's about restoring. Now, when I was asked to share a few days ago, I was drawn to a passage that I've been pondering most of lockdown, and that was Psalm 91 and the word abide. And Psalm 91, you know, as it says at the start, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If you go on, read the psalm a little bit later, but if you go on and look at it, it's the image of God's presence. It's an image of God's protection. It's an image of God's peace and his perspective. And I think perspective in this time is particularly, particularly true and particularly strong. And we know from John 15, the passage that we've just been read, that abiding leads to bearing fruit. When you abide and remain in Christ, you're more likely to notice, to see, to grasp opportunities that God has been providing to share good news. But what does abide mean? What does abide mean? It's, once again, it's not a word that we might use every day. I mean, immediately as I think of abide, I think of that brilliant FA Cup final hymn that comes, abide with me, fast falls the evening tide. And, I don't know the rest of the words, but Lord, abide with me. But abide means remain, dwell. From the Greek, meno, remain, dwell. There's a few things we need to know about abide. There you go. The other PowerPoint display. Abide. Abiding is believing. Abiding is trusting. Abiding is savouring, resting, getting an attachment to Jesus, receiving from Jesus, remaining in Jesus and being connected to Jesus. Abiding is all that. When Jesus talks about abide, he talks about it flowing from him to you, from Jesus to us, in his word, in his love and his joy. Abiding is grappling with God's word and chewing on it and savouring and devouring it and loving it. Abiding is knowing and grasping and being aware of his love, of resting and being content with the love of God that he has for you. Abiding is knowing his joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It's not a sort of like, let's have a bit of a superficial laugh or a few jokes, but it's a deep joy. It's something in the gut that stirs us and motivates us, that keeps us content, keeps us going. It's that joy, abiding in his word, abiding in his love, abiding in his joy. See, at the end of the day, we are nothing if we don't abide in Christ. And that is where fruit comes from. Let's face it, at the end of the day, God is calling us to bear fruit. God is calling us to bear fruit. In terms of our character, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness and self-control. He's calling us to those characteristics, and we nurture those and we become more like Christ with those characteristics, that fruit of the Spirit, by abiding, by remaining, by dwelling, by connecting with Jesus. But also, I believe Jesus calls us to fruit in terms of mission. Fruit in terms of mission. In the wider passage of John 15, Jesus taught his disciples to be fruitful so that their joy may be full. In other words, fruitfulness is fun. It is life-giving. And Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 10, I have come to give you life, life in all its fullness. Fruitfulness is full. Fruitfulness is life-giving. There is a great joy in seeing results, for want of a better word, or fruit that God desires. And Jesus said that he chose us and appointed us in order to go and bear fruit. As leaders, as disciples, as followers, our goal is not only to bear fruit, but also to help others do the same. Faithfulness is great, it's necessary, but we must be more than faithful. We must be fruitful. And we have great potential for being fruitful in our leadership or in our ministry because of four things that this, a few things that in this passage from John 15. First of all, source. Jesus is our source. He is the true vine. And if we stay connected to him, we naturally bear fruit. If we stay connected to him, we naturally bear fruit. Secondly, care. Also in verse 1, it teaches us to care. Our Heavenly Father is the vine dresser. He owns us, but he cares for us. He's got our best interests at heart. And sometimes we need to know that, especially in the difficult times. But also, for fruitfulness, there's a lot of pruning going on. And God tends to remove things, or asks us to remove things, that may hinder our usefulness. He trims our weaknesses. But you know, also, in verse 4, it talks about the importance of partnership. Our job isn't to artificially push fruit out, but to stay connected to the vine, to stay connected to the vine. You see, when we choose to abide, when we choose to walk with God, we kind of know and are assured of three key things, that we're called, that we're loved, and that we're kept. Called by Jesus the Son, loved by God the Father, and kept by the Holy Spirit, that protection that Psalm 91 talks about. And I think abiding and remaining and choosing and forming those habits that we can abide in Jesus is key at this time. Even with this announcement, this week's announcement from the government that the church can go back, although it never really went away, it's key that as individuals, we nurture that abiding, those abiding moments. Let's face it, if we think we're going to go back to life as normal and church as before, then I'm afraid I think we're going to have a long wait. That's one thing, but also we may be disappointed because this is a watershed moment in the life of the church and things cannot go back to being the same. I'm not just talking about Whitley Bay Baptist Church, I'm talking about the church in general. You see, the number of people engaging with church online and asking and seeking, searching with spiritual questions, praying even, is a massive increase. And that means churches moving forward need to be prepared to embrace this in terms of mission and ministry. We are likely to see many people in our community struggling financially, emotionally, relationally, and I believe Jesus would have us being looking at being prepared to respond and deliver. And we get prepared by abiding. We get ready for being people who can bear fruit by first of all nurturing and abiding in Jesus. Abiding in Jesus. See, there's little doubt that this season has been very much of a journey. Psalm 91 is kind of a journey psalm. This season hasn't been a normal sort of journey, but it's certainly started with ups and downs and difficult paths to navigate. A different sort of journey. It's been a spiritual journey. It's been an emotional journey, sometimes a roller coaster. It's been a physical journey as well. As I've just been in the month of June, been handed a month's furlough for Youth for Christ. They gave me a rest for all my hard work. and I decided, just leading into this, that I'd set some furlough goals, a bit like New Year's resolutions, and have had mixed success, have had some epic fails. I wanted to learn the mandolin, and the only time I picked it up was really to dust it. But one thing I wanted to do and take the opportunity was just to make sure that I was abiding, and I wanted to get into good habits of meeting, having a regular time with God. But also, I wanted to take the opportunity to get healthier, get fitter, lose a bit of weight. Okay, lose a lot of weight. So I needed to go about setting myself a good routine, establishing good habits as a... And now, let's face it, I'm never going to be on par with the elite athletes in the church like Paul Richardson or John Sayer. But bit by bit, I've been making steady progress. I've never been overtaken by anyone who's been walking. But bit by bit, I've been making progress. And often I come in trying to, grasp for breath. And Liz says, "Do you feel any different? You must be feeling different." Now, if I'm honest, I don't know if I feel better or not. But you know what? The habit of daily exercise and running and everything is a good and proven one to get into. And running a few miles is bound to be doing some good. But I don't necessarily think I can honestly say I feel anything. I feel indifferent. Now, when it gets into habits of abiding with God, you may not necessarily feel different. But no one can spend time with Jesus without being changed and becoming different. The connection, the attachment, the regular time of savouring God's word and being in his presence will make a notable difference. Other people will see. And when we're walking in communion with Jesus, we see opportunities that God puts before us. Our faith will be increased. We tend to be more compassionate, more courageous, more concerned. We respond naturally and represent God's mindset and kingdom values. I found Lectio 365 app really valuable in connecting in a daily way to stop, pause, reflect and pray. It's been interesting seeing other people connecting with the app in the same way, and conversations and the way they pray, and you feel as though there's attachment there to other people. You see, by choosing to abide, by choosing good habits, we make a difference. And, you say, well, we're coming out of lockdown, things are going back to normal, but it's never too late to start getting into good habits. You see, when we do that, when we start abiding, when we start bearing fruit in our character, when we start bearing fruit in our mission, when we start becoming more Christ-like, we become more holy. When we abide with Jesus, we become more holy. And holy people are powerful people. There's a story of Mother Teresa. I've probably told it before. And she was at a prayer gathering for world leaders. All the high and mighty in terms of world status were there. And she was going down the line. They were being introduced. And she was shaking their hands and introducing and having a chat. And you know what? As well as shaking hands, there was some physical shaking. Because it wasn't Mother Teresa nervous and she was shaking. But actually, those world leaders, those people of prominence, they were the ones that were actually shaking physically because they knew they were in the presence of someone really holy. Holy people are powerful people. So I want to encourage you to keep on abiding. Make those decisions to abide. Psalm 27, verse 14 says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Wait, I say, on the Lord. And wait starts simply by abiding. And I've got a few little questions. What does it look like for you to abide? What habits do you need to grow for abiding to occur? What do you need to change in your environment to enable these habits? I wish I had these on the PowerPoint, but I don't. So maybe you'll have to rewind and do it again. But basically, what do you need to change? What do you need to start? What do you need to stop? Let's pray. Loving God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this season that we've been able to stop from more normal things, maybe not getting so distracted with important things, but also we've been able to have time focused on you. Lord, I pray that this will be a season where we are equipped to be able to respond and bear fruit. Lord, we know that people are in need of good news. Lord, we thank you that we are people who know the good news, live the good news. Lord, help us to be sharing the good news in our thoughts, our actions, and our words. But for now, Lord, help us know what it means for us as individuals to abide. Whether it's that walking daily on a beach just to have time with you. Whether it's setting aside just to read. Whether it's a 10-minute quiet space. Lord, help us to be a people who abide, who remain, who dwell, who just connect with you, that we may be a people who bear fruit. We pray, Holy Spirit, come and help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Ever compared to you. heart's cry and my prayer for this vine. Above all else, above all else, above all else, give me yourself.
Thanks again to Eric and the band for leading us in that beautiful song. We're coming towards the end of our service now, and I'd just like to say a big thank you to everyone who's taken part in the service today, whether that's appearing on the screen or working behind the scenes to make sure that this video cast happens each week. So thank you so much. I really pray today that you've encountered God in some way through the songs, through the word, through the prayers or through the Bible reading. And I pray that God has been really speaking to you in a new way this morning. So let's pray together, and I'm just going to again use some words from the Lectio 365 devotions. Let's pray together. Father, help us today to live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, help us to give ourselves away to others, being kind to everyone we meet. And Spirit, help us to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all we do and say. Amen.